Turkey Bowl winners, huh? Wow.
Practically superheroes.
How about those poor Koreans? They're the ones you beat, right?
I wonder what they're feeling like today, you know? Probably the L word. Well, today we're going to look at a portion of Scripture.
Do I have this on?
No? Okay.
Is it on now? Okay, cool. We're looking at Acts chapter 8. And before we get there, I just want to tell you a little story. Yesterday, there's one thing I hate to do in life, and that is change the oil in my car. All right, it's almost as bad as getting gas, but I don't have to do it as often. So my wife was with me, so I just thought, well, this is nice. You know, I have my wife with me. It's always comforting while you're sitting there wasting time putting oil in a car that one day is going to end up a pile of junk anyhow, you know, to at least have the comfort of my wife. And so as we're there, you know, I pulled into, I shouldn't probably say the name of the place, but one of those quickie places, okay? They just do it really, really fast. And the guy was really excited about his job. And I swear, he thought he was a superhero, all right? And he's talking to his partner as though they're both superheroes on this invincible team that are going to save the car, okay? And just the way they talked was cracking me up. So I'm sitting there, and we're waiting. They're doing something. And the phone rings, and the guy answers the phone, all right? It was hilarious. He says, "Hello, Jason here at blah, 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 oil change. I'm not only good, I'm fast. And I do a 20-point inspection on your vehicle, bumper to bumper. I'll check all fluids, oil, transmission, power steering. I'll even change the air in your tires, get rid of the dirty air and put nitrogen in. Again, my name is Jason. How may I serve you as your superhero?" He didn't say the last part, but that's what it sounded like. So one guy's under the car, and he screams, "Differential, check!" And then another guy's over there, "Tire, check! Bumper, yes, he's got taillights, yes." And they're just shouting these things back and forth. It's hilarious. I think of these guys. All I could think of was Buzz Lightyear. Little Buzz Lightyear, that toy from Toy Story. And that's what these guys thought they were, like superheroes. They were really into it, you know. And it just kind of cracked me up. Well, today, we're going to look in Acts. And we're going to find in Acts this superhero mania. All right? That just kind of comes on all of humanity. And we're going to look at three characters in particular as we look at the superheroism. Okay? Because you and I, the end of the story is that you and I are called to be superheroes. I know I've mentioned superheroes before, but when I looked at this portion of Scripture, I saw that there are godly superheroes. It is not beyond our capability as children of God. As human beings, yes. But as children of God, it belongs to us. And it's not just to some people here. Okay? Now you guys have a brand new baby. She is gorgeous. Now, she is just a little tiny baby. You have to feed her. You have to do everything for her, don't you? She can't even flush a toilet, can she? No. So you take or use one. She can't even reach one. She can't even walk in the bathroom, okay? And you do everything for her. Because I imagine that you imagine that she is going to be an incredible woman of God. Is that true? How much more does God look at us and see us finished, complete in Christ as His children that He can be proud of? There's parents here today. Every parent here does everything they can to produce children that are the best that they can be at what they're supposed to be. All right? So we're going to look at these three characters today. You know, we're going to look at Philip, the evangelist, Peter, the rock, and Simon, the sorcerer. So let's take a look here at Acts, and I'm reading from the Young's Literal Translation. It says here, starting in Acts 8 and verse 9, "And a certain man named Simon was before in the city using magic or sorcery and amazing, astonishing the minds of the people, the whole nation of Samaria, saying of himself that he was a great one." So this guy wanted to be a superhero. He knew he had to have power, so he became a sorcerer. He used magic. All right? "To whom they were all giving heed from small unto the great, saying, this is one of the great, this is one of the great power of God. And they were giving heed to him because of his having for a long time amazed them with deeds of magic. And when they believed Philip," now Philip came there preaching, "Philip, proclaiming the good news, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon, the sorcerer," get this, "himself believed." He saw what Philip did, and he heard the word, and he himself believed. "And having been baptized," he was also baptized, "he was continuing with Philip, beholding also the signs and mighty acts being done. He was amazed." So here's this sorcerer who walks next to Philip and he sees what Philip is doing and he looks at his source of power and what he's done and he goes, Philip has really got it. This God is real. "And the apostles in Jerusalem, having heard that the Samaritans had received the word of God, did send unto them Peter and John." So Peter and John came down to Samaria to see what was going on. "Who, having come down, did pray concerning them, that they may receive the Holy Spirit." And this is very interesting, because they were all saved under Philip, okay? But they hadn't yet received the Holy Spirit. So we see that there's these stages that are laid out. Now, God can do it any way he wants. But in this situation, and in several others throughout the book of Acts, we find that people acknowledge Christ, they get baptized, and then there's a second step or another movement toward God, okay, where they receive the Holy Spirit. And this is what John and Peter had come to accomplish at that time. Then in verse 16, "For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, and only they had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." Verse 17. "Then were they having laying hands on them that they would receive the Holy Spirit. And Simon the sorcerer, beheld that through the laying on of hands," okay, "of the apostles, the Holy Spirit is given. And he brought before them money." He saw this quest. He wanted to be a superhero. If he was a girl in the Chinese church yesterday, he would have wanted to win against the Koreans. Okay? He wanted to play, and he wanted to win. And when he saw that there was a way to have more power, he reached in his pocket, and he pulled out money trying to buy this gift. Because in his heart, he wanted to be a winner. He wanted to be a superhero in the eyes of everybody. "So then Peter said to him, Thy silver with thee, may it be to destruction." The Message Bible says, "You and your money can go to hell. Because the gift of God thou dost think to possess through money. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this thing." In other words, saying, you don't have any part of what's going on here. "For thy heart is not right before God." Get this, the man had accepted Jesus Christ. The man was baptized. And now Peter is telling him, your heart, you're coming to church, but your heart is not right. He's telling him he's going to face destruction. However, Peter goes on and he says this, "Reform, therefore, from this thy wickedness, and beseech God, if then the purpose of thy heart may be forgiven thee." Peter is giving this man hope. What an incredible God we serve. You know, we're all sitting here today. None of us want to be losers. Some of you may want to stay in the background, just kind of be hidden in the crowd. Okay? You don't want to stand up and put a big cape on and fly through the sky like Underdog or Superman. Okay? or climb tall buildings like Spider-Man. Or, you know, that may not be your thing. However, God has still called us to be closer to Him all the time. And many superheroes of faith throughout history have been in the background who know God and seek Him in prayer. So Peter offers him help because the thoughts of his mind, his intention in his heart was not right. But he gives him help. He gives him hope, rather. For in the gall of bitterness, in the bond of unrighteousness, I perceive thee being. And this word is very interesting, the bond of iniquity. It's a beautiful picture which meant something to the people in that day. And what it meant was that this iniquity, this bondage that you are carrying with you, that you have carried with you for a long time, that besetting sin, that thing that is attached to you, okay? He says you're ensnared by that. And the picture is that you are chained. You are chained, literally chained. Your left hand, or your right hand rather, is chained, okay? Who should I, can I be chained? Would you come up, Eric? Okay, yeah,
sure.
You're Eric, right?
Yeah.
I'm bad at names, I always have to double check. Okay, and then this is chained to Eric's left hand, and he's the Roman soldier, and I am a prisoner. And wherever he wants, look at this, anywhere he wants, look, check him out. I have to go anywhere. I don't get to walk the extra mile if I feel like it. I just plain old have to do it. This guy is, I don't want to go here. Look at him. I'm drunk all over the place. All right? Thank you, Eric.
Yeah.
I don't want to go sit down with you. All right. So that is the picture. He's saying you are bound with this chain. I don't know about you, but I can relate to that. You know. I can relate to that. And in looking at these three characters today, I want us to look at them and say, I get it. There is a chain that at times keeps me bound. There are motives that are not always perfect. I mean, is that valid or not? You know. I mean, just, you know, being young and being attracted, okay? I remember, I don't know why this flashes in my head. I remember 1975, 76, I was teaching at Marine City High School. And these guys were in the hallway, and they're just leaning against the wall, and they're watching everybody walk by, right? And guys would walk by, girls would walk by. When the girls would walk by, their heads were like radar, just following them, okay? And they were making funny noises. Like if they thought the girl was really pretty, okay, they'd go, she'd be coming, ding, 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 ding. And she'd walk by. It's like they had their beauty radar on, you know. What was their motive? It wasn't totally pure. I can pretty much guess that, okay? You know, and so, you know, why do we do what we do? See, God is so, His light is so penetrating, that, and His word is so penetrating, that it cuts asunder between soul and spirit. It's an x-ray, it goes right to the motives and intents of our hearts. You know, now there was hope for this guy. That was the picture, though, that he was bound. He was bound. And there's only two more verses we want to look at in this portion of Scripture. And Simon answered and said, beseech ye for me unto the Lord that nothing that you have said will come to pass. They indeed, therefore, having testified fully, spoken the word of the Lord, did turn back to Jerusalem and many villages also of the Samaritans, and they continued proclaiming the good news. So he didn't want the consequences that were going to come upon him. All right, so let's take a look at these three characters. And we want to, again, figure out, how am I like these people? All right? And where can I go from where I am today? I wanted to bring a comic book, you know, and just show you the pictures of superheroes. I didn't get a chance to get one. But they're always you know, they're always poised, you know, in these great positions, you know, to do good, to save people everywhere. And that is what we see going on in each of these situations. And in the comic book, you're going to see the villain, the bad guy, okay? You're going to see the superhero, and then you're going to have, you know, maybe a sidekick, but for sure you're going to have bystanders, the crowd of people just in amazement seeing everything that's going on, all right? So let's start with Philip, okay? We've talked a little bit about Simon. We'll come back to him. But Philip, what a cool guy. This is a different Philip than Philip the Apostle, all right? This Philip actually had four daughters who were virgins and of good report everywhere he went. We find him in Acts chapter 6. He was one of the seven who was chosen to be a deacon. He's a servant, just a regular little servant guy. In Acts, as we read, he did mighty acts, okay, mighty miracles from him. That's fantastic, all right? We see that he blesses all of the Samaritans. I mean, this guy, got to think about his culture. He was a Jew. He's from Jerusalem. They didn't relate to the Samaritans. This guy is out of the box, okay? He's down there. And then they give a call, you know, to Jerusalem, say, hey, we've got good stuff going on down here. And they right away send Peter and John. Peter didn't have the vision to reach out to unclean non-Jews, Gentiles, okay, or mixed people, until Acts chapter 10. So Philip, you know, is really moving in the Spirit here. Not being too concerned about what people think, because that's just how he was. He heard from God. I love, as you go on in Acts, we find that the Spirit said to him, go near unto the treasurer of Queen Candace of Ethiopia. Instantly, God speaks to him, obedience. He goes right to this guy on this chariot who's reading from Isaiah, and he begins to interpret for him. All right? And then they're driving along. Get this. They spot water. And he says, why not be baptized? What's keeping you? You got to remember, the people in that day, Jerusalem was filled with little pools of water. Some for the aristocrats, some for common people. But it was all according to a hierarchy. And some people were not even allowed near certain pools. And here we've got this man of stature. You know, the treasurer, you know, of Ethiopia. And they just found some water. So he just, yeah, let's do it. Because Philip was a man who could see the truth behind the ritual. Okay? He wasn't hung up on all that stuff. All right? Very, very cool. See, God is raising up a new generation of Christians, mostly young people, who are adventurous enough to see the truth behind the traditions. Not being ensnared by on the way here today, I was thinking church once a week. I mean, it's great. But on the other hand, it's like, I've had the week off like you guys. I've been meeting with God every day in a really great way, early in the morning. You know, it's been fantastic. It's been church every day. So it's good to come to church, but it's better to meet with God all the time. Does that make sense? It's really cool that way. All right, and Philip was one of those kinds of people. And then one day, whatever God told him to do, he did. It says the Spirit spoke to him, and then he instantly was obedient. And then one day, the Spirit just picked him up and carried him, transported him, and plunked him in another whole place, because God could do that with Philip. When he landed, he didn't sit there and say, God transported me, I'm cool. I'm a superhero. I can fly better than Superman. I was transported. This is better than Scotty beam me up. This is like God transported me. He wasn't like that. He was other-centered, you know, which is really, really cool. That is Jesus cool. That's what I call it. It's fantastic. Another time it says that God spoke to him and he ran. He ran, which is so cool. That's in Acts 8:30. God spoke, and he ran to do what God wanted. I love that. Instant obedience. All right, the other thing about Philip. This is so cool. And I hope this will set you free. Philip ministered to these people, and they all got saved. That's fantastic. But he didn't lay hands on them, and he didn't minister the Holy Spirit to them. You don't have to do everything. All you have to do is what God gives you to do in the body of Christ, and somebody else will pick up from there. I thought, how cool is that? He is so different than Simon. Simon looked at what, you know, Philip was doing, and he wanted that. And Philip wasn't like that. He just said, I just get people saved. That's my thing. I'll get them saved. And then somebody else can do the rest of it. Bring in an apostle, bring in some prophets, establish them with a pastor. But it's just not my thing, all that pastoring stuff. You know, all that laying out of hand. I just want to preach the word and get them saved. And that was good enough for him because that's what he was called to do. Maybe you're great at math. Just do your math thing. Maybe you stink at math. Stay away from it, you know. Just get past these classes and then go on to do your, you know, more, you know, what? Language arts thing, you know, or artsy thing of some sort, okay? So you don't have to be good at everything. You have to pass all your classes and you have to get A's because that's what your parents want, right? Okay, that's good. Let's take a look at Peter, all right? Peter's an interesting character because he always wanted to be a superhero. Remember? What did Peter do early on that we see in Scripture that gives us an indication that he really wanted to be a superhero? Anybody? What's a couple of things you might remember about Peter with his superhero tendencies? Oh, he did! I forgot about that. Yeah! At the Garden of Gethsemane, he whips out a sword, or a little dagger, and he chops off Malchus's ear. Oh my goodness, he just, you know, he wanted to save the day. You know, take his outer toga off, wrap it around his neck, and be the hero with a cape. What's another thing? I'm going to write that down. I remember that. Yes? Yeah! They're in a boat. All 12 of them there. Jesus is there. You know, Jesus comes walking on water. And Peter says, if it's you, Lord, bid me. I'll come. You know, he's a superhero. You know, it's kind of like the guy at, you know, the oil change place. You know, he's going to save the day. Well, Peter ended up being what he wanted to be. He ended up being that superhero. Of course, he had to be emptied of himself first. That was pretty painful. Because even though he had all this good desire and intentions, he was afraid of people. And he wanted the attention of people. And he had to get free from that. And God did it for him. It's amazing. As you follow Peter, and at this moment in Acts chapter 8, Peter has been restored. Peter had walked by some lame guy and said, silver and gold I don't have, but such as I have, I'll give you. Stand up and walk. And the man stood up and he walked. And then we see Peter, Ananias and Sapphira come. And Peter, he's a superhero now. He's God's man of power. They come, they lie. At Peter's word, they drop dead. Peter has got what it takes. Peter was afraid of people just a little earlier on. And then we find him in Acts chapter 1 and then Acts chapter 2 again. Oh my goodness, the man is standing up and he's getting in the face of people that he used to be afraid of. And he's saying, you are the ones who crucified the Son of God. And they're trembling. And people are getting saved. Check this out in Acts chapter 2. Peter, and this was his message always, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the promise, he says, is to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. So Peter's message is this: repent, get baptized, be filled with the Holy Spirit, because it belongs to everybody. As many as God shall call. And so Peter is saying, I've walked in those steps, and I see that you can walk in those same steps as well. Peter is being used in a mighty way. All right. Are you like Peter? Would you like to be a superhero? Maybe you've blundered a few times here and there. You know, did you ever have to give a speech, like in school? And in your mind, you see yourself giving a speech. I remember this one guy in Bible college. He was preparing his first sermon. And he says, oh, I've got it down. I have got it so down. He says, I even know when I'm going to pound on the pulpit. He says, I know when I'm going to raise my voice and give the word of God. He had it all planned out, you know. And he did it. He did it exactly the way he had it planned. But everybody knew it was scripted. It was planned. It wasn't fresh and alive from the Holy Spirit. So like Peter, I'll walk on water. Thou art the Son of God. You know, here, I'll cut his ear off. You know, I was volunteering for the great acts. You know, fantastic guy. Same man denied Christ and went out and wept bitterly, had to be emptied. So if you want to be a superhero, make sure you check out the pathway to being that. There's some brokenness along the way. Christianity, yeah, Jesus saved us. Salvation is free. But if you really want all of what God has for you, it will cost everything. And so that's real Christianity. That's the gutsy stuff. Will we become that sacrifice? Let's take a look at Simon. Simon the sorcerer's name in history is known as Simon Magus. Magus is the Greek word for magic. He's well known outside of Scripture. It's not just in the Bible, okay? According to many early sources. He's reported to have been called the great power of God by the people of Samaria. He was from a village called Gitta in Samaria, and he was called the musician. Justin Martyr, in the 2nd century, claimed that Simon used demonic forces to imitate Christianity, and that it was reported that he had performed wonders in Rome during the reign of Claudius and had a large following. Irenaeus, that is a late 2nd century Christian historian, said that Simon was the source of all heresies and that Simon identified himself with the Trinity. He was associated with Gnosticism, and that's a heresy that permeated, it's kind of like New Age thinking and humanism mixed together. He claimed that he raised from the dead the third day, as did Jesus. And he mixed Christianity with non-Christian ideas. Also, he was proclaimed himself to be Moses' father. Just totally bizarre stuff. Some of it is really, you can substantiate it, and other stuff is just like hearsay. Simon is generally supposed to have grown worse and worse as time went on. All right? And he was known throughout the churches of Asia, you know, and so was his heresy. Now, the thing about him that I think we need to recognize is that we might have some of those tendencies as well. In God's Word, look, when God offered him salvation, he took him as he was, all right? And so he was a crooked man, all right? He was crooked, just like this arrow, all right? He could not be shot in a straight line. The man was crooked. You know, and as we look in, I think it's Isaiah 49, we'll see that it speaks of Jesus as an arrow that was polished. The shaft was polished. A wooden shaft was polished. You've got to remember, arrows were made of wood. This is aluminum. But it's made of wood. And wood has kind of a memory, so you'd have to pick very carefully, you know, the branch that you're going to make an arrow out of. Probably those, I think they call them sucker branches, ones that grow straight up out of a tree that just like suck life out of fruit trees and that. They look like they would make good arrows because they're born straight, so to speak, okay? But what God does with his arrows is he polishes them. He takes the shaft and he whittles it down. He turns it until it is straight, not crooked. So with an arrow, see the Psalm, I think it's 127, says that children, you know, are like arrows in the hands of mighty men. And so in order to send an arrow, this one isn't going to go straight. This one will. And so the Lord has these fun little pictures for us, you know, in Scripture, so that we can learn from them. And I think this is one of those pictures that, you know, just helps us to question or just am I straight? Am I right on? with what God has for me? Or does he come with his little whittling knife and try to, you know, cleanse part of my life? Yes, it's Isaiah 49, speaking of him. There's another man in Scripture, King Saul. King Saul, it says, this is amazing. It says that when Samuel anointed him, that he was turned into another man. And the thing I want you to see today is that with some of these characters, you know, life is a timeline, okay? And, you know, some people, you know, we start out here, whether male or female, and then God has a plan. He wants to bring us, of course, to him, to dwell where he dwells, okay? And along this, that's the ideal plan. Now, obviously, some people, the scripture says, are estranged from the womb. That's a baby, okay? And they just, you know, they just plummet right down. You know, they just, you know, sorry, they go to hell. Sounds terrible. It just happens. That's what scripture points to, okay? And then some folks, like Peter, here's Peter. Here's the road, okay? Here's appointed unto man once to die, so here's his tombstone. It's death, okay? There's his grave, all right? It's the same for all of us. And along this journey, we have a free will. Now, Saul, amazingly, walking along, looking for his dad's donkeys, okay? He gets touched, and he's turned into another man. And he's put on the high road, all right? Fantastic. Simon, out of Acts chapter 8, walking along with an evil inspiration from hell, okay? He accepts Jesus Christ, gets baptized, but he doesn't move to the high road, all right? History tells us that he didn't make it. Judge nothing before its time. It's none of my business, all right? It's in the Word of God, so we can look at it and use it as an example. So Saul, here's Saul, okay, great guy, turned into another man. But by the end of his life, he has turned, like Simon, to sorcery, all right? He's turned to the powers of darkness. He's calling on a witch, all right? Peter, let's take Peter, all right? We'll put Peter right here. And we're going to take a look at Peter just a little bit more, all right? So, you know, even though Peter had the vision, from here to there, he had the vision. And along the way, you know, he's walking with the Lord. He had hit that real deep spot where he denied Christ right here, all right? But then he got back on the road, and now we see him doing mighty works of God, being the spokesman. It's exciting. It's exciting. All right? It's fantastic. Fantastic. And I have with me a funny little bottle today. This is kind of cool. Look at this. What do you think it is? Somebody say salad dressing? I thought so. Yeah. There's oil and vinegar. All right? And there's two chambers in this one bottle, which is really kind of cool. If I tip it this way, I get vinegar. If I tip it that way, I get oil. All right? And the two don't mix, all right? Even if I put them together and shake it up, you know, they'll get all bubbly and then they'll separate again. But this bottle kind of reminds me of people like Peter, people like Simon, not Philip, but people like us who might have a chamber in our hearts with a little something that is not exactly what God wants to be there. See? And so for Peter, what happened was this was thrown down. His heart was broken so it could be remade. All right. So, you know, God wants us to be wholehearted for him, not this double-minded thing going on. All right. So there we have it. You know, Peter's life. So in conclusion, let's take a look here. You know, we've had these examples set before us. And I want to point to Peter and to Simon. Peter and Simon, you know, had something in common. They wanted to be superheroes, but they had something else going on in their heart. You know, Peter got right, but then later down the road, years later, that old thing that was in Peter when he was afraid of what people would say. You know, he denied Christ. He got right. But there was something left in him where he was still afraid of what people thought. Because in Galatians chapter 2, we see that Peter, you know, came down from Antioch and that Paul had to withstand him to his face because Peter was there eating with Gentiles. Big deal. He was meeting with Samaritans in Acts 8. You know. But later on, when he's with the Gentiles and some bigwigs came from Jerusalem, Peter withdrew himself. All right? And so I think there was something left inside of Peter. Now, I showed you the vinegar and oil jar, okay? Now, here's a drinking glass. Would anybody like to drink out of this? It's kind of gross, isn't it? This is like, looks like somebody sneezed in it. All right? It's really disgusting. This is a disgusting drinking glass. All right, now watch. If I put my fingers inside of this and I begin to pull this garbage off, I'm cleaning this vessel. There, I just got that one out. Look at that. It's actually rubber cement. Gross, okay? Now there's a clean spot. Woohoo! Who wants to drink in it now? Nobody? You would? Thanks for volunteering. All right. What I'm saying is that you and I are like this glass. Our lives are a container for the things of God. And Peter was cleansed at one point, and then he let something creep back in. Simon was never cleansed. He went on in his wicked way. So, you know, what needs to happen in a vessel like this is that the hand of God has to come inside, okay, and begin to remove this stuff from us, all right? And he'll do that. So that pretty soon, you know, this vessel can be perfectly clean. It's fantastic. It was nasty and dirty, and my fat fingers can't reach all the way down to the bottom. But as I rub this nasty stuff off of this glass, it begins to be very, very clean. Now look at that. Now if you didn't know, my hands have been all over that thing. You know, it'd be a perfectly clean glass to drink out of. And that is what God wants to do. Look, he's called us to be superheroes. That's his purpose. That's his purpose. And sometimes in our lives, you know, it's a progressive walk. It's a progressive walk. And, you know, what we need to do is just like get rid of all these other people, you know, on this board. You know, and just put ourselves on this ascent and recognize that along that journey, we have vision for perfection because that's what God has called us to be. Just like, you know, Eric and his wife have this beautiful little baby girl and they see her growing and maturing, just like your parents, just like God. And yet there are things that are not totally right. Yeah, we've asked Christ into our lives. But have we asked the Holy Spirit to come into our lives? Because he came as fire that first time. All right? And this magician, Simon, he worked with fire. He worked with fire a lot. All right? And so are we willing to have God's fire come and purge away those nasty things that are sticking to the inside of, you know, our lives? That we just know they have to be dealt with. We know we have to let God do that. Are you willing for that today? You know. Now you won a trophy, you know, a beautiful green trophy with a cross on the top. Usually I see like footballs or bowling guys on top of trophies. You know. Oh, there are footballs down the bottom. Fantastic. You know. What will be your trophy? What will be your trophy at this point of the timeline? You know, I think it has to do with all of the little choices along the way as we allow the Spirit of God to come in and work with us to cleanse us and purge us and wash us clean. I think everybody here would really like that. Am I right? I think that's right. I think you deep down would love. You might have a battle. I don't care what it is. Look, Peter offered, or Philip offered, Simon a chance to turn around from witchcraft and sorcery. How much more will God, is God, offering to us a wonderful opportunity to let that Holy Spirit come in and begin to wash and cleanse us and give us a fresh fire. Father God, I thank you for this awesome group. Lord, for their attentiveness, as tired as they are. Lord, for their attentiveness to your word that, boy, just has a way of penetrating our understanding and our minds like nothing else. Lord, I pray that for every one of us here as arrows, that you'll straighten us out. That every one of us here as vessels, you'll clean us up. That every one of us here that might have, you know, a chain of one sort or another, a besetting mindset or even sin, that you are able to break that and set us free to be your kind of unique superhero in the kingdom of God, doing those mighty works for you, whatever they might be. And at this time, it just may be being obedient with a right heart, kind words towards siblings and parents. Might be being more diligent at schoolwork. Whatever it is, Lord, we pray for the abundance of your grace and the anointing of your Spirit upon each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.